Well, hey everybody. Like I say often, welcome to our online service. We are so grateful to be spending this time with you whenever you might be engaging with this online service. My name is Josh Erickson, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, and it is my honor to be spending this time with you whenever you might be engaging with this online service. We're continuing our exploration of what it looks like to be inspired by God to explore faith, hope, and God's dream for everyone. And this time around, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how important it is to understand that God doesn't expect us to have perfect faith in order to move forward in life or to be used by God. Well, we do hope our time together is a blessing, and we hope you know that we are here to help you in any way we can. But right now, we hope that our time together is indeed something that inspires you in your faith journey. So one of the struggles that I think people have, and I think people have this because I know I have this at times, and I've experienced it in conversations with many people, is that they think they have to have sort of a perfect faith or the correct beliefs in order to be loved by God or to be used by God or to be able to move forward in faith. That there's some sense that they have to learn the right things or say the right things or believe the right things in order to be someone who God will use, someone God will love, or perhaps to have their faith grow. And I kind of understand this because we give a projection about sort of this kind of knowledge base that people are supposed to have and believe. In church, often we recite creeds or statements of faith from centuries ago, and I think we take them as the statements that convict us of having a certainty about our faith when they actually are just trying to help us to articulate a faith. And when we think about faith in this way, where we have to have this perfect faith that we can't make mistakes and that if we do, God won't use us, it really holds us back because it has sense that we have a belief that we have to have or this perfect system of understanding, and that's just not how faith works. Faith is messy. Faith is confusing. Faith is full of doubt. Sometimes faith has certainty and clarity, but oftentimes it is far more the other things. And what we really want to do is understand that if we have enough faith to move forward, then we can be used by God. If we have just enough faith, God can use us, and we don't have to have perfect faith or be perfect people in order to be used by God. Now, this should be evident by the fact that God hopefully is using me. I am not a perfect person. I do not have perfect faith, and I have doubts. And I believe and I hope that God is using me to help everybody that I contact with, get in touch with, to have a better sense of faith, hope, and that God has a dream for them. Do I do this perfectly? Absolutely not. But do I have hope that God is at work in my life and working through me? For sure. Now, that should be an immediate comfort to somebody, I hope, but let's go back a little further and see that this has been very true for a very long time. In fact, actually, it's one of the beautiful things that we find throughout all of Scripture is that God does not expect us to have perfect faith to be used by God, and God does not only use perfect people. Because if that was the case, then there would only be one person that God could ever use ever, and that would be Jesus, because we believe and we hope that he was perfect. But everybody else is not. Everybody else literally ever has made mistakes. And God has used people throughout the generations upon generations. Now, we see this in practicality because God continues to use ordinary people like you and me. But we see this in specific in what is written in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Now, Hebrews is a fascinating part of the New Testament. We're not really sure who wrote it, and we're not really sure who it was written to, but it has been used by God for centuries upon centuries to show inspiration and to show what it looks like to move forward in faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, there is a sense of which God makes it clear about what faith looks like and why it's about looking forward and moving forward and not just about getting things right. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." So, assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. It is not suggesting here that it is absolute certain faith. It's not suggesting here that it's blind faith, but it's having a proper confidence, an assurance that is enough to move forward, and a conviction about things that you cannot see or touch. which means that all of us have to take any of these things by faith. We don't move forward only by sight. We move forward with hope and understanding of what God may be up to in our lives. Now, what's beautiful about the way that this particular part of Hebrews is then followed up with is it's followed up with a very interesting narrative list of people that have embodied this sense of faith, that they have assurance and conviction, but guess what? They're not perfect, and they are far from it. In fact, actually, when you hear some of these names, you're going to be like, I can't believe that these are the people that were decided to be lifted up as examples of faith. Now, it does give a confirmation about what they're trying to focus on, because what it says in the latter part of chapter 11 is that what they were focused on was the future and not the past. That they had enough faith and enough hope and enough confidence in God's dream that they're able to take this next step and move forward. The language there is specifically about a heavenly country and not focused on the one they came from. It says in Hebrews there that if they were overly focused on where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to go back. And in this sense, that kind of going backwards is not a good thing. We can take steps forward and backwards in faith. It can be three steps forward, three steps back, two steps forward, one step back. That's okay. But when we are looking in the rearview mirror so much that we don't know that we're going forward or we stop moving at all, that is a sense where our faith is stagnant. Now, like I said just a moment ago, the people that are lifted up here are a fascinating group. There are people in here that you're going to recognize and people that you won't necessarily off the cuff know. So the people that are lifted up are people like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets at large. I love how at the end there they'd go, and the prophets, like all of them. But anyways, there are some specific names in there that we should recognize as people who were not perfect and did not have perfect faith. Moses in particular is a good example of someone who we lift up and has been lifted up as the preeminent leader of the Israelites, having not perfect faith, but being one who did what God wanted. But you know what Moses did? He doubted. He made mistakes. He acted out of fear at times. But he had enough faith that God was with him to do what God he needed to do, to have trust that God was with them. What about David? It says in the scriptures that he was a man after God's own heart. You know what that man after God's own heart did? He committed adultery with one of the generals from his army and then sent that general out to be killed so that it could cover up the affair. That's not a perfect person, and that is someone who God used in some miraculous ways in other cases. Or how about Samson? That's a very famous story, right? Samson, known for being strong, his long flowing hair, and he was supposed to be God's anointed one, and instead of trusting God, he trusted in people, and that's why he got his hair cut and lost his powers, lost his strength, according to the story. Now, some of these things, you might even hear them and go, oh, that sounds a little bit on the skeptical side, and that's really okay, because this is the whole point of what we're trying to understand here, which is faith is not about believing with blind faith. Faith is moving forward with enough hope that God is with you and God is at work in the world. Faith isn't about having blind faith, because anytime someone tells you to have blind faith and just accept it for what it is, what they probably want you to do is just listen to them and not do anything without questioning what they're saying. Because when somebody says just to have blind faith, they don't actually probably mean blind faith in God. They mean blind faith in the human being that's telling you what to do. When we think about these kinds of realities, we understand why the journey of life and faith is about having proper confidence and being able to understand that you may not believe something in one day, but you might believe it in the future. Or there's something that you believe now that you won't believe in the future. But what we can have confidence in is that God doesn't expect us to be perfect or have a perfect faith to be able to move forward. So what does this mean for us? It means that we don't have to be afraid of questions. That any question that we can throw at God is a question that God can handle. God isn't fragile. God isn't going to be like, I can't believe you asked that question. Or God's not going to be like, I can't believe you doubted this. Or I can't believe it took you a lifetime to get to a place of conviction about something. God, rather, is going to embrace that because it means we care. Sometimes if we turn a blind eye or our deaf ear to our faith, it shows indifference. And I think perhaps God has more to say about being indifferent than being doubtful. It also means that we shouldn't be afraid when others are deconstructing their faith or their understanding around us. And that is something that is happening for a lot of people. Now, let's be clear here. There's good deconstruction and then there's not so good deconstruction. I don't want to call it bad deconstruction, but it does degenerate sometimes. There's a really important place for deconstruction in our faith, in our philosophies, in understanding of systems and process in the world. Because it means we're bringing questions of integrity, questions of capacity. It means we're asking, is my faith in particular something that is just rooted in something that I understood in the past or as a childlike understanding or a childish understanding? Rather, instead, when we deconstruct those kinds of things, we usually come out on the other side with stronger faith because we're like, we let go of something that wasn't worth believing in so that we can hold on to something that is worth believing in. And that's why it is important to understand that faith in the journey of life isn't just about getting things right perfectly. It's about moving forward one step at a time. It's about understanding that faith is more about a process than it is about arriving. It's like that saying, you know, the journey is just as important as getting to the destination. I think that's a very true sentiment about our faith as well. When we realize that it's all a process and we don't necessarily stop, but we just make our way forward, we get a better sense of why it's important to understand that you don't have to be perfect to be used by God and you don't have to have a perfect faith to be able to go on the journey of faith. So as some of you know, my wife is an artist and she does paintings and she does other things. But every once in a while, I get into a conversation with her about what it's like to finish a painting. Now, in some cases, she can come to a pretty clear conclusion because it is a job well done or there's just a clear it's been accomplished. But other times, I hear her say, I think I just have to stop. Because if I add more paint, it's going to get muddy. If I try to do more here, I'm going to undo work that I've done. Or if I try to do too much, it's going to overimprove it in some cases and make it not as realistic as the in-person experience of something might be. And I think that is a helpful metaphor to me about what faith is like. Faith is not something that we can finish, but rather it's something that we accept that there are points where we have a complete moment. Faith isn't something that we have to get perfect so we can deliver it or hand it off, but rather it's more of an experience of life, an experience of God at work in us that helps us to move forward and see a job well done. Faith is complicated. Faith is full of doubt. Faith is full of hope. And in our case, we believe that faith is full of God's dream for everyone. So I hope we can be inspired to understand this very beautiful thing, that you don't have to be perfect to be used by God, and you don't have to have a perfect faith to move forward. God uses imperfect people and imperfect faith all the time. Hope is an assurance to you and me that God is with us. Would you please pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you are a God who uses imperfect people, that you're a God who loves us even when we have imperfect faith, and that you're a God who encourages us to keep moving forward despite our imperfections and despite an imperfect faith. Holy God, as we go forward in our lives, help us to have enough faith so that we're willing to take the next step. Help us to hold on to hope so that we might understand that you are at work even when we don't see it. And God, we also ask that you help us to remember that you have a dream for us and for our world. God, with all this in our hearts and our minds, help us to have a sense that you are leading us into the future and that you are going to be with us no matter what. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you.